This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening and welcome. This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Just the two of us tonight, Dean.
Yeah, g'day, Matt. How are you going?
It's fantastic to be here. Now, following on from the recent LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum in Sydney, hosted by Kaleidoscope Australia, we are profiling the LGBT rights and life in some of our lesser-known Pacific neighbours. In the tiny island nation of Kiribati, advocates are learning how to fight for legal change while gearing up to change the laws and the government offices providing some support.
Is the low-level government support an indication of the winds of change?
Why is it better being lesbian than gay in Kiribati?
What did advocates take away from their time at the Pacific Youth Forum? To cruise around the gay rights of the Pacific country, tonight we speak with Tabeo Tamton from BIMBA, a support and human rights association for gays, bisexuals and trans women in Kiribati. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
The Pacific is quite, I mean, small, like we're small, and the experiences we have on the in terms of LGBTI is very much the same as those experiences in Fiji. Tonga, even though Fiji has one of the most established LGBTI NGOs in the Pacific, that's also one of the, like, what we were able to learn from.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off in Taiwan, where 82,000 supporters of LGBT rights and marriage equality marched in the 14th annual Taiwanese LGBT Pride Parade on Saturday. Now, this is coming off the back of some draft laws to bring in same-sex marriage, possibly the first country in Asia to do that. At the moment, though, there were over 100 Taiwanese LGBTI and human rights feminist student groups. They were joined by delegations from various diplomatic missions, including the American Institute there in Taiwan.
Now, Taiwan is one of the most progressive countries in Asia when it comes to LGBT rights. They do provide some LGBTI rights protections, and there's some limited recognition of same-sex relationships at this stage. And there is draft legislation currently before lawmakers in Taiwan to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
Now, on the eve of the parade, Taiwan's Justice Minister Chin Tae-sun gave some marchers fresh hope by pledging that the government, a new government elected earlier this year, had a clear position on same-sex marriage and is backing equality.
But not so fast. So the Taiwanese...
I was getting excited there.
That's it. So as we know from Australia, sometimes politicians promise more than they can deliver. So President Tsai Ing-wen has vowed to legalise gay marriage, but since being elected, hasn't really been pushing for change and has generally refused to comment on the issue. And that's led to a backlash against the Tsai administration because of a perception that she made such campaign promises to lure in gay voters but doesn't want to deliver.
Now, the polls are showing majority public support in favour of marriage equality, but there are still voices against a vocal minority within the community. In fact, the current president just released a statement on Facebook saying that she believes that marriage equality will be realised soon and calls on the public to continue to have faith. That sounds a bit like another politician we closer to home.
Wait, are we talking about Taiwan or Australia? Now, moving on to Northern Ireland, the ruling Democratic Unionist Party, the largest political party in Northern Ireland, has been in the news a bit over the past week due to their anti-marriage equality stance. Now, we've heard a bit about this recently, over the last few weeks. Northern Ireland is the only part of the UK without marriage equality, and all progress on same-sex marriage continues to be blocked in Northern Ireland because the ultra-conservative DUP employs petitions of concern to vet marriage bills, despite despite a parliamentary majority in favour. Similar to Australia, majority of people want same-sex marriage, or marriage equality, as we prefer to call it. But the First Minister in this case, Arlene Foster, has reaffirmed plans to continue employing powers to block any future marriage legislation.
Doing and, whatever she can to block it, really. She's coming out with some real rippers.
Yeah, this is a good story to angry up the blood. So she said that the DUP would use a petition of concern to block any changes to the law over the next 5 years for their term. She described the ongoing political row over same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland as a storm in a teacup.
It's a big teacup, I say.
One would think so. So she insisted her party was not anti-gay, but said that very, very vicious online abuse from LGBTI activists demanding the change made it less likely the DUP would support the move. And this is a very interesting comment. If activists want to have a conversation about where they're coming from, do they seriously think they're going to influence me by sending me abuse? No, they are not going to influence me by sending me abuse. In fact, they're going to send me in the opposite direction, and people need to reflect on that. Sounds like a threat to me.
Reflect on that.
Yeah.
Well, let's all reflect on that.
I think the problem with her stance, if I can editorialise a little bit, is that the issue with it is that now she's left. There's no, the activists have nothing to lose. She said, next 5 years, you can all go take a running jump. I'm not going to legalise same-sex marriage or marriage equality, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to happen. So they might as well. Where are they left to go?
And the opposition has picked straight up on that. The opposition leader has criticised the First Minister for, quote, blaming online trolls for their party's position on same-sex marriage. We'll keep an eye on that one as it progresses. Across to Gibraltar now. Gibraltar has passed same-sex marriage in its government with unanimous cross-party support. The whole lot. Everybody went, yes, please.
Well done.
This is a British overseas territory. There were 15 members present who agreed to pass it into law. It's a country of about 30,000 people just off the coast of Spain. It's 80% Roman Catholic and unanimously passed. The chief minister described it as a landmark day for Gibraltar and the parliament.
Fantastic. Now, moving on to Scotland. Last week, we covered the UK's Turing Law to automatically pardon gay and bisexual men convicted of offences that are no longer criminal. The law was scuppered by the Conservative Justice Minister in England and Wales. However, in Scotland, the government has announced that men convicted of same-sex sexual activity on the basis of outdated and homophobic laws will receive a full pardon. Now, our Scottish volunteer crowd controller, Gordon, who keeps all those fans at the front desk from demanding autographs during the show, isn't in tonight, probably so as not to embarrass us Australians for being so backwards. But Scotland is far more progressive than the other parts of the United Kingdom.
We raise a glass to you and Gordon, and to Scotland. Now, in brief, in the Czech Republic, the government has approved a plan to allow gays and lesbians living in registered partnerships to adopt children of their partners.
In the USA, over 50 couples have set the world record for the largest ever lesbian mass wedding.
And Sydney man who put hydrochloric acid inside a lube dispenser at a gay sex on site venue has avoided jail and been handed a good behaviour bond. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Tiseke Kasambalas from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the Worldwide Wave.
A bit of action coming through on Facebook. That story of the man who put the acid in the lubricant dispenser at the sex on premises. Kingsley says, not good enough judge, and it's attracting lots and lots of angry icons on our Facebook page. It's W3Joy on Facebook.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We are tonight in Kiribati. Now, Kiribati, it's actually spelt Kiribati, but the T-I is pronounced S, and it's officially the Republic of Kiribati. It's an island nation in the Central Pacific Ocean. It's made up of 33 atolls and reef islands and one raised coral island. Total land area, 800 square kilometres. Doesn't sound that big, but it's actually dispersed over 3.5 million square kilometres. So it's a really large space of Pacific Island real estate.
It's extraordinary that it's actually the only country in all four hemispheres as well. So north, south, east and west, all hemispheres. So
it's the centre of everything.
It is. That's it.
Population, about 100,000, became independent from the United Kingdom in 1979. Do you know what the official language is?
No, I do not.
It's called Gilbertese. I don't know where that's come from, but it's interesting. In terms of religion, Christianity is by far the majority religion, having been introduced by the missionaries, about 56% Roman Catholic, 34% Kiribati Uniting Church, and various other Protestant and evangelical denominations in there as well.
Now, male homosexuality is illegal in Kiribati. Female homosexuality is legal, and I wonder if that goes back to the old Victorian
the
era.
Laws, yeah.
Yes, the old 371. What's that number? You know, this is where when Paul's overseas, we often forget which number it is. But yeah, so female
377.
That's it. But lesbians may face violence and discrimination.
Yeah, so it's not all good news. Various penal codes that they have there. So there are laws outlawing anal intercourse regardless of sex. They have an Unnatural Offences Act, and this is quite often, this is where they lump a lot of the gay sex type of convictions, where if you commit buggery with another person or with an animal, let's just put all the animals in there as well. And the penalties are up to 14 years. So it's a fairly steep penalty.
Now, attempts to commit unnatural offences and indecent assaults can result in an imprisonment of up to 7 years. So, yeah, there's no anti-discrimination protections, I'm sure you're not shocked to hear, and there's no, obviously, rights or recognition for same-sex couples.
The only one there that's sort of borderline is you can serve in the military as a same-sex person, but that's because it's actually the New Zealanders that defend them. So New Zealand's boat and tank, which is the New Zealand Defence Force, defends Kiribati as well. We are in Kiribati tonight on World Wide Wave.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to World Wide Wave.
We're following on from our recent LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum hosted by Kaleidoscope Australia in Sydney. And tonight we're profiling one of the countries that attended, which is Kiribati.
Now, by way of introduction to the issues facing LGBTI people across the region, here's a short overview from the United Nations Free and Equal campaign featuring a supportive voice from Fiji's president.
There were about 42 students. They beat me up brutally.
I was assaulted by 6 prefects of the school, and I missed an entire school term.
I've got bruises on my head. I've got slashed down in my genital area.
That was one of the worst experiences of my life growing up as a transgender individual in high school.
I knew that I was gay when I was 12 years old, but I had to keep it to myself because of the stigma in place.
Across the world, people suffer from violence and discrimination because of who they love and for who they are.
I came up to my mom when I was 19, and she didn't accept me for who I am and who I love.
Self-stigma is very high. This is one of the issues that we're trying to fight. My family keep trying to push me to be a person that I don't want to be.
Too many Pacific Islanders who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex are exposed to discrimination and violence. In 8 Pacific countries, relations between people of the same sex are even still criminalized. And yet, the unique gender diversities of the Fafafine, Leiti, and others are part of the Pacific's age-old cultural treasure.
I'm a proud Itaukei transgender woman. The body I was born with does not determine the way I live my life. It is determined by the way I feel inside.
I had a very supportive and loving mother who saw my diverse difference in my sexuality, and she very much embraced it.
We're a couple. Just like any other couple. A little bit different, but that's okay.
Yeah, we've been together like 13 years.
13 years.
In the last 10 years, 5 Pacific Island states have decriminalized same-sex relations. In Fiji, we have adopted a constitutional ban on discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. These are important steps forward. But laws alone are not enough.
I have a lot of friends who say that they support me being a lesbian, and then the next day come in and tell me that I just haven't found the right men.
We are Pacific Islanders with the same right to love, live and prosper. We are all children of God.
Rise with me and stand against homophobia, transphobia and biphobia.
Together we can build the Pacific that is free and equal.
That overview was from the UN Free and Equal campaign. We're posting that right now on our Facebook page at W3Joy.
And coming up, we hear firsthand how gay rights are being advanced in the island nation of the Kiribati with our guest, Tabeo Tampton from Bimba.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
Now, tonight, as we mentioned, we are in the tiny Pacific island of Kiribati, which is in its infancy in terms of LGBT rights. But last month, they achieved a significant milestone, official recognition of the gay rights group Bimba. Now, Tabeo Tampton is from Bimba, and we asked him to tell us about their organisation and how it got started.
Bimba is originally established as Pipa. It was a group established by a number of transgender women, and it was a dancing group back in 2010. So it was never registered or recognized by the government. During the beginning of the year, this year, 2016, I had the opportunity to connect with some of them, most of them, actually, and we sort of made a group. It will include not only human rights, but it will also include health. And this group was recognized or registered by the government in September as a gay and bisexual and transgender women association in Kiribati. So all members are gay, either gay or bisexual, men or transgender, but we are also including other allies and friends who are straight, like heterosexual men and women who are supportive of the group's focus and goal.
Tabeo, what does registration with the government mean for Bimba?
Registration in the government, I mean, at the moment, is like being registered or recognized by the government as the non-government organization, NGO.
And is that a big deal for a gay organization to be registered?
Yes. For us, it was quite a big deal because you need a lot of paperwork done. And the main one is the constitution, which we, like me and some of the members, do not have any capacity or the know-how is about to do it. Eh? So what I did is, from my connection with the PSDN, or the Pacific Sexual Diversity Network, was able to give me a copy of the, like a draft, constitution in one of the NGOs in Fiji, and that's where we start working on it. That's a big step for us, getting the constitution sorted. The transgender women in Kiribati are very, very visible and vocal, so it's not that, in terms of visibility, it's already there. It's just a matter of doing the paperwork. That's the hardest part of the registration.
You said that there is good visibility for trans people. Is that the same for gay men? And how does your culture react to men who have sex with men in general?
Yes, that's a very good question. I think I can say that it's very much the same thing with the rest of the Pacific Islands. Local communities, they're really, they're more conservative, and because it's so, religion also plays a role in not accepting the ways of being gay and being transgender because of the sexual orientation towards the same sex.
Tell us a bit about family and how family plays a part in somebody being gay or trans.
I think for us, the most important thing for us to start with is to be open to our families. Right? So some of them were able to open up to their parents, cousins, or siblings. And there are some who get positive and negative feedback. And for the positive one, they'll get accepted and embraced by their family because of who they are. That's good because you can continue to live with your family. And the negative side, there are some of them who got they were considered as a disgrace to family, and some of them were disowned or forced to leave their home.
Tabeo, is there much experience with HIV in Kiribati?
Yes. In Kiribati, there's a lot of support for health, HIV health. There's three that I know, and these are the HIV program unit, which is under the Ministry of Health and Medical Services. I was not part of these activities, but I was able to get information from my fellow members of MIMBA, that they were able to get like workshops and trainings to do with HIV and AIDS and other STIs. In terms of human rights, in Kiribati, there is now a human rights officer who is working with the Ministry of Women, Youth and Social Affairs.
Tabeo Tampton from Bimba in the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati on the HIV services available there.
And really quite some tantalisingly exciting elements where the government has invested in having a human rights officer. Now, it's not, you know, it's not up there at a cabinet level. It's not high profile, but it's a start where there is some form of official support and recognition. And now they have approved the GBT organisation there in Bimba. So these baby steps are quite exciting, I think.
I agree with you that it's exciting, especially given that, like many other Pacific nations, unfortunately, Kiribati has also been criticised by outside observers for dragging their feet on LGBTI rights.
In fact, Justice Michael Kirby at the Pacific Youth Forum last month actually said he made the accusation that there were many Pacific nations, too many, dragging the chain on LGBT rights. Kiribati's already come up for, I think it was last year, yes, last year came up for review, the United Nations Universal Periodic Review process. And there were some recommendations made as a part. So this is a process. Every 4 years, all the member countries of the United Nations go through a review. Now, France, Slovenia and Chile urged Kiribati to decriminalise homosexuality. However, the Kiribati delegation made no response to the recommendation.
Well, that's not really surprising, given that the Kiribati churches have dismissed any possibility of marriage equality, and they, both the Catholic and the Protestant leaders, say there is no room for debate. So they've said that it's against...
Let's not even talk about it.
Yeah, that's it. So let's legislate gay people under the carpet, and let's hope that they just never appear. So basically what they're saying is that, paraphrasing here, marriage equality is against our Christian values, as they said, according to leaders of the two largest church denominations in Kiribati. And that came following debates from, of course, the United States, where the Supreme Court of the United States legalized marriage equality, and also all the changes that have been happening everywhere else in the world except for Australia.
And you've also got a very dominant Christian religion. 80%+ of people are covered in those two major churches, so they've got a bit of sway, you would have to say.
Well, one church leader said same-sex marriage, I quote, undermines and destroys marriage institutions. They said marriage must be treasured and protected. And they supported campaigns by church and lobby groups that oppose the legalisation of marriage equality.
One other thing I took out there from Tabeo's comments was this, this idea behind having the know-how and, I guess, capacity building for LGBT groups. And this is where, you know, Kaleidoscope excels in not trying to do things for the groups in these countries, but trying to teach them, trying to empower them, trying to encourage them to set their own direction. So I think it's really positive that they've sort of come away. And actually, we're coming up, Tabeo talks a bit more about what he got out of that conference and the kind of support and capacity building that they got out of the conference.
Well, one of the things we've talked about with representatives from Kaleidoscope, Australia Human Rights Foundation, on this show in the past is, in many respects, for many countries, anti-discrimination legislation against LGBTI people is a more pressing concern than marriage equality is. And it would be positive if, even though it's going to be basically impossible for Kiribati, for the LGBTI community there to get marriage equality across the table, so to speak, if they could say, well, okay, we don't have marriage equality and you don't want us to have that, but what about some anti-discrimination legislation so that we can be secure in our employment and secure in our housing and
basics,
that sort of thing.
The basics.
So hopefully that will get somewhere.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hola, mi nombre es Felix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We are talking all things islands tonight, and we've been speaking with Tebeo Tampton from Bimba, which is the GBT group in Kiribati. And Tebeo recently attended the Pacific LGBT Youth Forum in Sydney, and we asked Tebeo about his experience and what he took away from the forum.
Yes, I would like to acknowledge the Kaleidoscope and the US Embassy for not only allowing us, but funding our trip to Sydney for this LGBTI Youth Forum. I was there with another officer from the government, that was the human rights officer, but I was there in capacity as a volunteer and member of BIMBA. So, yes, I was able to establish a professional network with very successful LGBTI persons in the Pacific, including Australia and New Zealand, and that was the island of my attendance to the event. And also there's a part that includes religion, and I think that is also relevant for the community here in Kiribati. This religion is a very significant part of our lives here, and it's good to know the kind of approach you can use to advocate for LGBT at the religion part of Kiribati.
Was it important and beneficial for you for those discussions to be within the Pacific context, to hear the stories from other Pacific nations?
Yes, I totally agree with that. Yes, it's very relevant, and the Pacific is quite, I mean, small, like we're small, and the experiences we have on the in terms of LGBTI is very much the same as those experiences in Fiji. Tonga, even though Fiji has one of the most established LGBTI NGOs in the Pacific, that's also one of the, like, what we were able to learn from in terms of the success they've been through. And even learning some of the constraints or the issues they were facing, that is something I found really, really very relevant and resourceful during that forum.
Tebeo, what's BIMBA's plans for GBT rights in Kiribati going forward?
At the moment, like now, that's the first step. That's the recognition from the government that we're supported as an NGO. The second one is we were able to get two office spaces, actually. One is office space that can be used as an office, and there's another space that can be used as a training or workshop facility. And that was offered by the Ministry of Health and Medical Services through the HIV Program Unit as a support to our work here in CAS.
Joy 94.9.
It was really interesting hearing from Tebeo there about that, can I call it Pacific empowerment? The idea that that solidarity thing of, I guess, if a Pacific Island country does something or makes moves in a certain way, it carries a lot more credibility than us doing it here and saying, or an outside country saying, you know, you should do this. There's a bit of competition between Pacific Islands, but also there is that cultural bond which is much stronger than anything we could bring.
It makes sense in the same way that, say, Central America or Eastern Europe tend to have very similar values and, you know, and a shared history. So, yeah, it just seems logical.
And Tebeo is very, I think, very practical in terms of, you know, talking there about Fiji, learning from, I guess, their mistakes, their constraints, looking at what others are doing and with that sharing starting to happen by bringing together, you know, in this case, young people to talk about LGBTI rights, it's a great opportunity to, you know, share the good and the bad.
And it's organic and it's coming from within their own society and their own culture. So it's not a question of someone from, say, America or, you know, the United Kingdom or, you know, some, you know, dare I say it, you know, cultural imperialism. So, hi, Lana. So, that's Lana, who used to be on our show. So, so that's it. It's coming from within. And I think that means it's stronger. They know how to communicate with people within their own country, putting their case forward, arguing for change from a local perspective, not from a foreign perspective.
So, we will watch those occurrences, those changes happening in Kiribati.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbo from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the World Wide Wave. That's how people do it.
One of our favourite promos there. Lovely message in from Melina, enjoying the show as always on this Cup Day. Thank you, Melina. Tonight, a big thank you to our guest, which is Tabeo Tampton from Bimba in Kiribati. You can actually read more about the LGBTI Pacific Youth Forum at kaleidoscopeaustralia.com. Bimba themselves are still setting themselves up on social media and websites and things like that.
And a big thank you, as always, to all the people who interacted with us this week on Facebook. That's W3Joy. Eric, Fenella, Margaret, Gary, May. There were so many of them. And, you know, we love hearing from you. We really do.
And those SMSs. We had Sparky 317 Melina there as well. Love those messages. Our podcaster, Mark, a big shout out to you, who makes us sound even better when they cut out all the bits in between.
And ahs and things like that.
Now, I'm off for a couple of weeks, and in that time, we will be up for the CBAA Awards, the National Awards for finalists in the category of Spoken Word News and Current Affairs. So good luck to the guys here. I'll be waving the flag from wherever I am.
Who knows? We might win, we might not. We really don't know.
Yeah, we'll just have fun anyway.
That's exactly it. So now we're continuing the Ireland theme. We're finishing off tonight with Ireland in the Sun by Weezer.
Catch you next week. The World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.